Good morning. Today's daf from Baba Basra's Kuv Beis. Today's daf is really just part B of yesterday's daf. It's also the end of the sixth parak of Baba Basra. Let's recap yesterday. Yesterday we talked about catacombs. The reason why it comes up in Baba Basra, it doesn't sound like much discussion for Baba Basra, although that's not totally true. Baba Basra is about real estate, and we are talking here about real estate, but the reason why it came up in the end of the sixth parak of Baba Basra is because we've been discussing through parakims 4, 5, and 6 when you have a transaction and there is no specific details mentioned in the transaction. So what is incorporated in that transaction? We talked about the sales of homes, boats, you name it, anything that exists in the 5th century, 3rd century, 2nd century, you name it, the Mishnah described and discussed it in terms of what is part of the generic sale of all these items. So we're talking about buying a burial plot. You're buying a family burial plot. And again, if you want to be specific, that's great. But if you're not going to be specific and you're just going to speak about a generic burial plot, so what is that? What is it comprised of? So yesterday in the Mishnah that we saw, the Mishnah that began on the on Kuf Amud Beis, so the Mishnah gives three different descriptions of what a stam burial plot looks like. So first and foremost, so they buried in caves. The Minug of days gone by is that people used to bury their family in caves, and the configuration worked in one of two possible ways, at least in the Mishnah. There's really a third possible way, which I'll mention in just a moment, but two possible ways. One is out of the sheet of the Tanakhama, which is as follows. First, you walk into an underground chutzner. It's a courtyard. It's a very small one. It's only 6 by 6 amos. It's about 12 by 12 feet. It's a small courtyard. And the height, well, the Mishnah never mentioned, but quoted yesterday. Tosfos, it was, I should say better, the Rashbam, and it was 4 amas high. So really, really small area, very, very small space. And according to the Tanakhama, this chutzner opened up into two caves, each on the opposite sides of one another. Each cave, according to the Tanakhama, was 4 by 6 amas. So, again, even a smaller area. And that 4 by 6 amas area opened up into eight crypts. Eight crypts on each one of them. Each one of them is rectangular in shape, 4 by 6. Eight crypts opening up, 3 on one side, 3 on the other side, and 2 opposing the entrance. So that is, and then you'll do the same thing on the other side. And this is what a catacomb would look like according to the Tanakhama. The Mishnah then mentioned the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon has a much more expansive catacomb. His would start off with the same chatzer of 6 by 6 amas, and then it would open up in all four directions. So now you would have four caves emerging out of this one chatzer in a north, south, east, west trajectory. Each cave was 8 by 6, so notably bigger. And each one would have 13 crypts coming out of it. Now, 13 crypts coming out of it, it's a mathematical challenge, and for most of yesterday, we dealt with the mathematical challenge in terms of how you're going to have 13 crypts coming out of it. The Mishnah gives a very terse description of these 13 crypts. The Mishnah describes 4 on one side, 4 on the other side, 3 opposite the entrance. And that fits, meaning, as we discussed yesterday in detail, the spacing works out very well. The problem is crypts numbers 12 and 13, according to Rabbi Shimon, where do they fit? The Mishnah just simply says they're opposite the doorway, but that kind of doesn't give us a good enough description of where they are. Ultimately, after a little bit of discussion yesterday in the Gemara puts them in the far corners of each of the caves on a diagonal. Okay, one of two possibilities, says the Gemara, either you're going to be digging into the corners in order to make enough room for the three crypts that are going to be fitting into the corner, or the Gemara says is that crypts 12 and 13 are for Nephilim, therefore the stillborns. Obviously, you don't need a very large crypt for a stillborn, and so it could be that crypts 12 and 13 are designed for the stillborns. That's basically what we saw yesterday, and in a nutshell, that was yesterday's daf. Just one last thing to mention, there is a third opinion in the Mishnah, that of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. He says, Hakol ufi asela. There is no objective catacomb, and there's no standard catacomb of what it would look like, but rather, says Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, just really depends on the land mass that you're building it upon. Okay, but with all that stated, so we have now provided three basic visuals of what a catacomb would look like. And Adkan, that took us to the end of yesterday's daf. We begin today's daf by learning a Mishnah together, right? You see me with my Mishnayos and Olos. So we're going to be learning a Mishnah together. This is a Mishnah and Olos. We don't cover the Mishnayos and Olos in the Daf Yomi. We don't cover most of Seder Taharos in the Daf Yomi. In Seder Taharos, we cover only one Masechta. That's it. Out of all the Masechtas that are there. We only cover Masechta Nida. And the simple reason why is because that has Gemara. Masechta Nida has Gemara. The rest of the Masechtos don't have Gemara. So the Daf Yomi cycle does not incorporate it in terms of its learning. But through the Daf, however, we get to see a lot of Mishnayos, and here's a good example where we're going to be spending most of our day today. In fact, I'd say all of our day today. Well, if I start the new Mishnah, the new Perek, so then no. But we're going to spend all of our day today, the remaining section of the Gemara, on this Mishnah. Olos, let's begin. Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, Hasam over there. Hamotzei meis mushkav kedarko. So let's say you find a dead person who is buried appropriately. Kedarko. Meaning like a Jewish burial. Now, like a Jewish burial, so we already mentioned this a number of times. We mentioned this in yesterday's daf as well. So the traditional burial is lying down on their back, arms folded over their front. In other words, that is the traditional Jewish burial. So you uncover, you discover a body buried, and just by the way that's configured in the ground, seems like it's Jewish. I mean, there will also be some other telltale signs in terms of whether it's Jewish or not, but again, we're probably at the point of decomposition, so outside of the way it's lying, I don't know what other clues you may uncover or discover. The talis may be there. Right. Again, there may be other clues as well indicating that it's a Jewish body. So, what do you do? So, what the Mishnah is going to teach us in Olos is that it's an important point, and we're going to make a number of important points right now. But let's, for right now, just for the sake of understanding the simplicity of the Mishnah, right now, where do you discover it? You discover it on your property, and that's weird. Meaning, and you didn't, it wasn't a cemetery, and you didn't plan on seeing it there, and you never knew about it. Nobody ever told you about it, and now it's uncovered. So what do you do with it? So interestingly enough, the Mishnah says you can dig up the body and rebury it properly in a cemetery. Okay, let's see the Mishnah inside. There's much to discuss on the Mishnah. First, I'm going to read the Mishnah. Hamotzei meis mushkav bedarko. I'm sorry, kedarko. You find the dead body buried appropriately, meaning as a Jew would. No love tfusa. So what you do is you dig up the body together with tfusa. Tfusa means dirt that's surrounding the body. Why and how much, I'll get to in just a moment. Shnayim, let's say you find two bodies. Just again, no, with no warning, no history, nobody told you that there was bodies buried here, and you find two. So here as well, note lan the etzfusa son. So what you're allowed to do is dig up these two bodies and rebury them properly in a cemetery. Matzah shlosha, just finishing up the Mishnah, we're on the top of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. If you find three bodies, so now three bodies, what does that seem to indicate? Three bodies now is giving us a good indication that what we're looking at is a burial place. Meaning a catacomb. Somehow, some way, the history just got erased, but the property which you thought was yours, which is yours, but turns out now that there actually was a cemetery there. So now, once it has the status of a cemetery, of a makom kvura, so then the bodies must remain. How do I know it's a catacomb? How do I know that it's that the three bodies are buried as a unit, as a group? So now, basically, this is where yesterday's daf and today's daf bridge together. Because if it works within the configuration of what we saw yesterday, in terms of what a catacomb looks like, if these bodies are buried now per scale, as per yesterday's daf, so now you know. And that's exactly what the Mishnah Olos tells us. Imesh b'nehemar arba shmona. So if the bodies were buried within a configuration of 4 to 8 amas, harezer shkunas kvura, kivros, ubodik mimenu lahalan. So now we have a shkuna, meaning this is now a cemetery. And now what? And now we basically, with a little bit of a detective hat in hand, we now have a strong suspicion that, hey, wait a second, there are probably more bodies buried over here. Again, consider the configuration that we talked about yesterday, where you have a chatzer opening up on both sides, and according to Rabbi Shimon, on all four sides, to caves, to crypts. So what are we going to do now? So the Mishnah says, what you're going to do now is, you're going to keep digging. So, therefore you're going to check it. So now you're going to go in all directions, 20 amas. Because now raglaim ladavar is the expression used that means we are suspicious. There's reason to be suspicious now as we uncover three bodies. And the Mishnah repeats and says, because had we only found one body, we would have dug up the one body. We would have dug up the surrounding earth as well. Ad kan divrei haMishnah. That takes us to the end of the Mishnah. Okay. Now, what the Gemara is going to be focusing on for a good part, nearly entirely, is the numbers mentioned in the Mishnah. So, before we get into the Gemara and into the numbers mentioned in the Mishnah, Mishnah talked about bodies found within a range of 48 amas. By the Mishnah talked about doing an examination inspection from the place that you find them, 20 amas in every direction. And what the Gemara is going to get stuck on, rightfully so, is the numbers mentioned in the Mishnah, because we know the configuration, we know the numbers, and the numbers provided in the Mishnah don't really agree with the numbers that we learned in yesterday's daf. And we're going to get to that in just a second. But in the meantime, however, let's take a step backwards. Let's turn back to the previous Amud. Look at the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. Let's take a look at some Rashbams together. Hamotze Meis, so the Rashbam on the previous Amud and Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, you find a dead body. By the way, the Mishnah, the Rashbam points out this is a Mishnah Nazir, meaning he's right. It's a Mishnah Nazir and it's also a Mishnah Nolos as well. Hamotze Meis, Tchilo Shalom Noda Rachshav Shayakan Meis. Okay, so as I explained, but again, I only did that because of the Rashbam. So the Rashbam explains that we have no history that there was a dead body here. We didn't know. Obviously, there was no tombstone. There was no matseva. There was no indication that there was a body buried over here. We had simply no history. Inami, no deshish kameis v'achar kach matzah shnayim acherim tchila shlo ayu yodim. Or maybe no. Maybe we did know about one grave site, but the two that were next to it came as a total surprise. Lo havishkunas kivros lignos mekomam ela natlan ve'etfusasan. So at this point in time now, they are not going to be considered shkunas kivros. It's not going to be considered a burial site. And what you could do is you could dig up the bodies together with the tfusa, with the surrounding dirt. Unless the three of them were known, meaning we have a history of three people being buried over here, then it has a status of a burial site, or we discover the three together. And the Gemara says, and the Rashbam points out this tradition we have. Okay, now, next Rashbam. Meis mushkav kedarka nolo tfusa so. Im rotzet lasos sham taharos. Mefaneo lemeis. So the Rashbam points out over here, meaning, why would you want to move the dead body? I mean, the dead body's resting, so let the body rest. So the Rashbam points out, could very well be that you were not expecting the dead body to be over here, and you want to make use of this area for taharos. Obviously, the dead body is going to be an impetus, I should say, for you to do taharos. You can't keep anything in the state of tahara if there's a dead body over there. Mishum de lo kana mekomo, kozman de lo avishlosha. Now, in terms of the right of that dead body for that space, so the Rashbam points out, the dead body is not kona mekomo, does not acquire space. Meaning, just because the dead body is over there does not mean that that body has acquired that real estate. It's not the case, says the Rashbam. This is not a burial site. So how can the body's buried there? So the Rashbam points out the number of plausible explanations. It could be that right it was a time of distress. They just simply didn't have time to bury in a proper burial, in a proper cemetery. So as a temporary solution, they buried in that area. Now it is a dead body, not murdered. The body was laid to rest properly. No tel gam est fusa so. So what you have to do is you also have to take earth together with the body. The Gemara Nazir discusses this in more detail. So you dig, after taking up the body, you dig another three tefachim into the ground, and to take that as well. And now, why would you do that? Why take the dirt? Because most probably, the Rashbam writes, is that that dirt has human remains. Meaning that during the process of decomposition, so body will just simply disintegrate and basically associate with the dirt that's right underneath the body. Therefore, you're going to be digging up the dirt as well. And the Gemara Nazir, the Rashbam here quotes, has a clue to this halacha, a hint to this halacha, based on the pasuk in the end of Sefer Bereishis. So the pasuk says, and you're going to take me Mitzrayim, from Mitzrayim. And the Gemara over there in Nazir Darshans, and the Rashbam here quotes it, me Mitzrayim tol imi. You're going to take part of Egypt together with me. Taking part of Egypt with you, how do you take Egypt together with Yaakov Avinu? The answer is, you take some of the dirt. Klamar, mikarka Mitzrayim. Okay, ava. Now, if the person was murdered over there, so here goes without saying that he has not acquired that spot, that location. Could very well be simply that he was killed and he just fell over there. And you know that because Miguyad, he was either dismembered, he was cut up, or he was just simply not resting properly, he wasn't resting on his back. Similarly, writes the Rashbam, let's say that wasn't resting in a traditional Jewish manner, and maybe buried vertically like we described yesterday, or maybe face down, whatever the case is, it leads us to believe that it's not a Jewish burial. And we still treat it respectfully. That's not the point. The point is that it doesn't have tefusa. Then you don't have to take the surrounding dirt. Also, if they are not buried in a traditional Jewish manner, so then what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to dig up even three bodies that are buried within proximity. Meaning the only time that it's considered a Jewish burial site is if the bodies are buried like traditional Jewish people are buried. Hamotse prat lamatzri klamer prat liyadua shim echad mehem yadua ushnayim tchila lo misne b'sefa gabi matzah shosha reizeh shchunas kivros. And again, the Rashbam repeats what we said at the beginning, which is that these three bodies have to be discovered simultaneously. Mace. Next point in the Mishnah, right? What the Rashbam is doing now is he's darshaning every word of the Mishnah, right? Hamotze means it was all of them were discovered at the same time. Meis prat laharug shem nimtzu miguyadim afilu shlosha ein lahem shchunas kivros deiklamemer kan nerugu v'lo ninu lekvura. The next word of the Mishnah is meis. They died, meaning they died without being murdered. So if they were murdered, if they were killed, even if it's three, even if they were laying down in a proper fashion, but again, dismemberment, or it's just clear that they were murdered. So even as three, they don't acquire that area. Mushka pratli yoshev kedarko. Mushka pratli yoshev. If let's say they were buried in a sitting position, that's obviously not a traditional Jewish burial. Kedarko pratli shirosha munachla ben yakosav. Kedarko means let's say they were buried in the fetal position. That is also not traditional Jewish burial, and so once again, does not acquire the area. Again, that would lead us to suspect that it's not they're not Jews, and therefore they don't acquire their spot. Even if they are Jews, but by virtue of the fact that they're not resting in a traditional fashion, so again, it leads us to believe that the people that bury them there only did so on a temporary basis. Hilkach ein lahem lo tfusa v'lo shchunas kivros, and so therefore they're not afforded the halacha of tfusa, meaning that even if we're going to dig up their body, we don't have to take the dirt around it, surrounding it, and it also is not going to be branded a burial site, and therefore they have not acquired the spot. So, what the Mishnah Olos teaches us, and a quick recap of all these points in the Rashbam is as follows, is that if we find three bodies buried, traditionally, in a specific configuration, so then we have to assume now that it is a burial site, and that's it. You can't touch it. Meaning, at that point in time now, these bodies have acquired that real estate, and even though it's a discovery, and okay, it's mazel, I guess.
It's
an excellent question. Meaning, what's the source of this acquisition? What is it based on? It's a great question. I don't have a patent answer to that question. I'm unclear what the source of it is. In other words, I know what the halacha is. I don't know where the halacha is derived from, and the Gemara is not going to say. Perhaps the Gemara Nazir. I didn't crack open the Gemara Nazir last night, to be honest. Perhaps the Gemara Nazir discusses in more detail, but the question is very fair. And if we're missing any of these components, where it's not three discovered at the same time, or the way they're buried is not in a traditional fashion, if you're missing any of these elements, so then you are within your right to dig up the body under certain circumstances, dig up the dirt surrounding the body, and then reburying them in a Jewish plot. One interesting thing to note before we go on in the Gemara and before we hit the numbers, the nitty gritty of today's daf, is that, and it's interesting, excuse me, the Gemara does not make one mention in this entire discussion of a meis mitzvah. We know the halacha is very clear that if you have a meis mitzvah, which means that if you have discovered a Jewish body that is dead on the ground and there is nobody attending to it, so we know the halacha is meis mitzvah kone makomo, that a meis mitzvah does acquire the land that it is found on, and therefore what you are allowed to do is you're allowed to bury the meis mitzvah in that spot. And it's just interesting to note that the Mishnah Olos and our entire discussion that we're going to have right now does not breathe a word about this halacha of meis mitzvah. I don't remember where the Gemara is, please forgive me, but the Gemara, it's often quoted, where Rabbi Akiva discovers a meis mitzvah, Rabbi Akiva picks up the body, Rabbi Akiva treks to a cemetery in order to bury it, and he went to the Chachamim and he reported what he did, and the Chachamim said to him, okay, that what you did was wrong, meaning that's not the halacha. The halacha is that once you discover a meis mitzvah, so you bury it on site. A meis mitzvah is kone makomo. And so it's interesting that over here, there is absolutely no concern whatsoever that what we discovered, what we uncovered, is a meis mitzvah. Okay, why should that be? So it's not clear. Meaning, the Gemara doesn't mention it, but it's what is clear is that it's not a default assumption. Meaning, a meis mitzvah is a unique scenario, and we do not assume that just because you uncovered the body, therefore it's a meis mitzvah. That is clear from the Gemara. Right, exactly. In other words, right, exactly. It's not a default assumption that what we've uncovered is a meis mitzvah. Okay. All well and good. So we covered the basic issues regarding the Mishnah Olos, Mishnah Nazir, and now here's what we need to do. We need to compare the Mishnah that we just learned together with all the information that we learned yesterday's daf. And just a quick recap again. In yesterday's daf, we learned what a configuration of a cave looks like. Now, there are two viewpoints. So in other words, we don't have to... Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel is out of the discussion for now. There are two viewpoints in terms of what a cave is going to look like. It's either going to be 4x6, or it's going to be 8x6. According to the Tanakhama, each cave is 4x6. And according to Rabbi Shimon, each cave is going to be 8x6. And that means now that according to the Tanakhama's viewpoint, what is the minimum distance between bodies in order so that we know these three bodies are considered meis mitzvah? So the answer is going to be, the minimum is going to be 4. What's the maximum according to the Tanakhama? Maximum is going to be 6. Now, admittedly, by the way, what I'm saying is not perfectly accurate, because please consider that it could be that of the eight crypts, we can have two being buried in one side and we could have one being buried on another side of the crypt. So even according to the Tanakhama, to say the number 6 is slightly imprecise. Well, I'll come back to that point in just a little bit. But right now the numbers are, according to the Tanakhama, either a minimum of 4 or a maximum of 6. According to Rabbi Shimon, his cave, the configuration, is going to be 8x6, which means that his minimum is going to be 6, his maximum is going to be 8. And it basically leads us now to the first question of the Gemara. The Mishnah Olo says that if I find three bodies and they're buried, and they're within a range, so now I have to assume that's a burial site. It's a cave, it's crypts, it's a burial site, and therefore I can't dig up the bodies. What's the numbers that the Mishnah in Olos gives us? 4 to 8. What's the problem? Well, now at this point in time, hopefully you figured out the problem. The problem is that that Mishnah in Olos is neither going like the Tanakhama, nor is that Mishnah going like Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara starts off the discussion. Amar Mar. So we start off the discussion. We're on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Me Arba Achmona. So if these bodies are buried within a range of anywhere between 4 to 8 amas, so then we now have a burial site. Money. And the Gemara's question is really simple. Who is the Mishnah following like? E Rabbanan Hamar and Dala Amos Al Sheish. E Rabbi Shimon Hamar Sheish Oshmana. And now, based on the numbers we learned yesterday, the Mishnah Olos is neither. In fact, what the Mishnah Olos is really doing is it's taking the smallest number of the Tanakhama, the largest number of Rabbi Shimon, and providing a range. But the idea is that we assume the Mishnah Olos is siding with one of those two positions, not taking the range of both positions. And so therefore, if we're going to ascribe authorship of that Mishnah, who is the author of that Mishnah? Is it Rabbi Shimon or is it the Tanakhama? So the Gemara is going to provide a number of solutions. La'olam Rabbi Shimon hi. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it could be that the author of that Mishnah is really Rabbi Shimon. V'hai Tana, hu d'Tanya. And what we're going to have to do is, not the way Rabbi Shimon was presented yesterday in the Mishnah, because it's then simply not going to work. Rabbi Shimon says is that the burial site is somewhere in the range of 6 to 8. The Mishnah Olo says 4 to 8. So what are we going to do? We're going to learn the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, but we're going to learn it in the context of a Braisa. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. D'tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Matzim Ritzufin Ve'im B'nei Medala Amos Adches Yesh Lem Tfusa Ve'im Lem Shkunas Kevros. If the bodies are buried Ritzufim consecutively, and the distance between them is not anywhere within the range of 4 to 8. So now, what are we looking at? We're looking at Jewish bodies that are buried. They are not buried within proper configuration, so therefore they are allowed to be dug up and reburied in a cemetery. Because they're Jewish, we are going to take tfusa. We are going to take the surrounding ground, the ground underneath. And that is the opinion of the Tanakhama of the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara, the Braisa continues quoting Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, quoting in the name of Rabbi Shimon. And this is, of course, the reason why we're quoting the Braisa. Rowan Esaim Saim Kilo Einam, Vashar Mitzarfim Midala Amos Vadches. So Rabbi Shimon says that if there are, let's say, multiple bodies buried in this range of anywhere between 4 to 8, and so therefore what we normally would expect in terms of how many bodies are buried anywhere between 4 to 8 is going to be, according to Rabbi Shimon, we learned yesterday, right, 13 all around, on one side 4. Let's say the bodies are buried so within proximity of one another, so we have too many buried next to one another. So what you'll do, says Rabbi Shimon, is ignore the middle bodies, ki'ilu einam, as if they're not there, v'hashar mitzarfim midal v'amos v'adches. And therefore, if you then have, by ignoring some of those middle bodies, you have a proper configuration of, right, anywhere within a range of 4 to 8, all right, 4 bodies being buried in a row, again, having to ignore some of the other bodies, so then you have what's called, considered a proper burial site, and therefore, Kona Mekoma, therefore, it acquires its spot.
How does he view this body that is exactly?
So Ben's asking the correct question. How can you just simply ignore bodies? Mm-hmm. What the Gemara is going to propose at the end of this discussion is that these quote-unquote extra bodies were buried there just temporarily, but with the plan of removing them. I understand that's a lot of speculation. It's an assumption, but the Gemara says, but we're going to assume that within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so what did the Braisa afford for us that we didn't have in our Mishnah? A range. The range of 4 to 8, which is now fits in with that Mishnah Olos that we started off this morning with. The Mishnah Olos tells us that if the range is anywhere between 4 to 8, so now you can assume that it is a burial site. The problem was is that Rabbi Shimon, we learned yesterday's Mishnah, in Baba Basra on Kuf Amud Beis, gives us a burial site of 6 to 8. Okay, so you're right. It's not going to fit in with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon of the Mishnah, but it will fit in with the Shita Rabbi Shimon of the Braisa. Okay, so it works. So b'mayu kimtik Rabbi Shimon emaseifa bodek emenu la'ala mesramama. So the Gemara says, okay, but here comes now our next problem. And our next problem is that once we uncovered the three bodies, and now we've established that it's a burial site, so now, raglayim l'davar, that's the language of the Mishnah, well, now we are led to believe that there are going to be other bodies buried within proximity. Well, where do I need to check? I need to check at a radius of 20 amas, right, going in every direction, because we could be at one end of the cave, and now we have to go to the, we have to go all the way through the cave, through the chatzir, and to the end of the next cave, in order to possibly discover more bodies. Here comes the problem, and again, it's another numeric issue, it's another measurement issue, and that is, according to Rabbi Shimon, if we're at the end of one cave, so, what's the length of a cave? 8 amas. Then we go through the chatzir, what's that? 6 amas. Then we go through a next cave. Again, this is all projection. We're going now through the next cave. Next cave is going to be 8 amas. So if we're looking now for the opposite end of this burial site, so the number 20 is imprecise.
22.
It should be 22. And that's exactly the Gemara's question. Money. E Rabbi Shimon Esther Matar Tanavion. So if we're looking at the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, so really the number should be 22, as we just described. And E Rabbanan Timnis Rehavion. Now, if this line of the Mishnah reads like the Chachamim, which admittedly is a little bit difficult because the Gemara just assigned authorship of the Mishnah to Rabbi Shimon. But if you're going to assume, if we're going to go back and revisit the question of who the author of the Mishnah is, and we're going to assume that it follows the Shita of the Chachamim, well, according to the Chachamim, what's a cave? 4 by 6. So the length is 6. So the length of one cave is 6. Then you go through the Chatzir, which is 6. Then you go through the next cave, which is going to be 6. 6 times 3, that's 18. Tamnei Sre Havyan, that's exactly the Gemara's point. So that's 18 Amas. So where are we right now? Meaning the Mishnah tells us, well, go and check at a radius of 20 amas from the point of discovery. If you're following like Rabbi Shimon, the number should be 22. If the numbers are following like the Tanna Kamma, the number should be 18. And what's 20? And again, just before we get to the Gemara's answer, right, the number 20 is an average. Meaning, it's funny, without our Gemara today, and again, I can't say this because we have a Gemara, and the Gemara discusses these very numbers, but without the Gemara today, the Mishnah Olos, you could just simply say, is taking a range of both Shitas, of both Rabbi Shimon and the Tanna Kamma, and the number 20 is an average of the Shita of the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Shimon. Meaning those are, what I'm providing is a simplistic way of just simply looking at the numbers providing the Mishnah Olos, but again, the Gemara is not doing that because the Gemara is assuming that's either or. It's either the Tanna Kamma or it's Rabbi Shimon, and the Gemara does not look at the Mishnah as a composite of those two positions. Okay. La'olam Rabbanan hi. So the Gemara says that really the Mishnah, in terms of giving us the range of 20, is following the Shita of the Chachamim. Ukigon debadek ba'achsona. And here's what you have to take into consideration. Meaning, we are assuming that it's the numbers are very simple. It's length 6, chatzir 6, and a length of 6. But that's only if I'm going straight across. But please consider that what we're looking at really is a rectangle. It's a rectangle of 4 by 6. And what I may end up doing is I may find a body discovered on one end of the cave. And then when I go to the other cave, it may be on the opposite end of the other cave. So really what I need to do is construct a diagonal cutting across from one cave to another cave. Now, let's just take one rectangle, meaning I know there are two rectangles. Actually, there are really three, because there's a chatzir to take into consideration as well. But let's just take...
There's a square.
Right, and the chatzir is a square. But okay. But in other words, if we're cutting across, so there really are three cuts to consider. But let's just take one rectangle for our discussion, for the purposes of our discussion. So it's 4 by 6. So if I have a rectangle 4 by 6 and I were to cut across with a diagonal cutting across the rectangle, so how long is that going to be? It's going to be a little bit over 7. Now, for purposes of our discussion, let's round up. Okay, so let's call it 8. I know we're not. I know I'm not being precise right now, but I'm saying over the Gemara like the Rashbam. So in my imprecision, I'm just explaining the numbers that are provided for us in the Gemara. So in a rectangle 4x6, so by cutting across on the diagonal, so it's going to give us rounded up to the number 8. So now, what are the numbers? It's 8 plus 6 plus 6. Okay, so now we got to the number 20. And that's the mission. Olos telling us that I have to look at a radius of 20. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. I'm cutting across. I could be cutting across twice. So then it should be 8 plus 6 plus 8. Bring us back to the number 22. The Gemara answers, look. We are going to take into consideration one diagonal, but two diagonals already we don't have to concern ourselves with. Top of Kuf Beis Amud Beis. Rav Shisha bar Ravidi Amar Lolam Rabbi Shimoni. No. The Gemara says maybe we could subscribe the Mishnah as following the position of Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, Rabbi Shimon has each cave being 8x6, the central chatzar being 6x6, the next cave being 8x6. So what are we looking at? We're looking at 22 amos. So, if that's true, why would the Mishnah, if the Mishnah Olos is following like Rabbi Shimon, how can we get from the numbers 22 down to the number 20? Because the Mishnah Olos says you only need to check 20. So So the Gemara says, well, maybe it could very well be that we're discussing not a full-grown body, but we could be discussing just simply Nephilim, they are stillborns. So obviously much shorter, knocking off two amas from this particular site. And so now all I need to do is check 6 plus another 6 plus another 8. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so umidaha benifli, haname benifli. Well, if this side has stillborns buried on it, the other side may have stillborns buried on it as well. Tam nesre havyan. And if that's true, so then I only need to check a radius of 18, almost not 20. So the Gemara's answer is similar to what it said previously, chare benifli aminan, tre benifli lo aminan. Okay, maybe there's a suspicion that on one side stillborns are buried, but we're not going to assume that on both sides of this catacomb there are going to be stillborns being buried on both sides. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so what have we successfully done so far? So we learned the mission Olos, gained a basic understanding of when is it considered a burial site, when is it not considered a burial site. We are looking at, for our clues, we're looking at the configuration of how they're buried. We're looking at how they're buried. Under certain circumstances, we have the right to dig them up and bury them in a proper cemetery. Under other circumstances, we have to assume that this is a burial site, and we have to leave it as it is. And then we spent all of our time today just addressing the question of the Mishnah Olos. It gives us a range of 48, which is not Rabbi Shimon nor the Tanna Kamma. So how do we understand that? The Gemara says we introduce ourselves to a Brisa this morning, that according to Rabbi Shimon, the range is 48. And then the other issue is that after identifying it as a burial site, we have to now take into consideration there may be other ends of the catacomb, and we have to check. And the Mishnah Olos gave us a range of 20 amos, and then mathematically it just didn't work out because it's either going to be 22 or it's going to be 18. How can the Mishnah Olos give us the number 20? And to that, the Gemara had a couple of suggestions as well. One more thing to do in order to finish up today's daf, and that is the following. Remember what Rabbi Shimon and the Brisa taught us? It was very interesting. He said that if you find multiple bodies, too many bodies to be buried as crypts in a catacomb, well, the Brisa said that according to Rabbi Shimon, you can ignore some of those middle bodies, and therefore we'll treat it like a crypt, like a catacomb, like a burial site, shchunas kivros, and therefore we have to leave it as it is. That's a very interesting halachic reality, that you can ignore some of the bodies that are buried over there. The Gemara points out, aside from it being in of itself an interesting halachic position, we happen to know that in another area in halacha, Rabbi Shimon says exactly the opposite, that you can't ignore the middle pieces. So for example, Rami Durabana, Durabana, Rami Durabi Shimon, Durabi Shimon. The Gemara proposes the following stira, and that is the following. Let's say you have a vineyard, but the vineyard is planted pachos me arba amos, less than 4 amos. Now, in other words, what is the advantage of having something being described as a vineyard? So once you have a vineyard, a number of things. First of all, you have to take into consideration the halachas of klayim, meaning once it's an established vineyard, so then you can't plant other seeds within proximity to the vineyard. Furthermore, if it is an official vineyard, you also get a patur, you get an exemption from having to fight in the war. So, in order for a vineyard to have a status of a vineyard, it has to be planted within a certain configuration. And the Mishnah teaches us, Karamana Tua, okay, I'm sorry, it's the fifth parak of Kalayim. And we did this Mishnah actually recently within Baba Basra. Karamana Tua, Pachos Me'arba Amos, let's say the vineyard is planted, but the rows of the vineyard are closer to one another than 4 amos. And that's not proper configuration of a vineyard. Rabbi Shimon Omer Eino Karam. So Rabbi Shimon says, fine. So you know what that means? It's not a vineyard. Meaning it's vines, but it's not a vineyard. It's not a Karam. And again, the halachas of Kalayim are now more relaxed, and you don't have your patur. You don't have an exemption from going to war. Okay. Now, v'chachamim Omerim Arizei Karam. The chachamim say, no. It's a vineyard. What are we going to do with those rows that are planted too close to one another? What you do is you ignore them. So now, in the halachas of Karam of the vineyard, so we are discussing this very same topic of ignoring the ones that are too close to one another. But what of course is interesting, and this is exactly the Gemara's point, is that these shitas now are exactly inverted. Here in this Mishnah, according to Rabbi Shimon, you do not ignore the ones that are planted too close to one another. And therefore, it does not have the status of a vineyard. And according to the Tanna Kamma of the Mishnah in Kalayim, you do ignore the ones that are planted too close together. And this is exactly the opposite, the inverted shittas that we have regarding finding too many bodies buried within proximity of the range of 4 to 8. What do you do? So the Gemara says, Kasha Durabana, Durabana, Kasha Durabi Shimon, Durabi Shimon. Obviously, we're looking at a stira. Durabi Shimon, Durabi Shimon, Lo Kasha, Asam, Lo Neti, and Shiadaita, Leakar, Hachazim, and Demisrami, Le Benashmashos, Umikre, Umanche, Le. So the Gemara says, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, here's what we'll say. The difference between planting a vineyard versus burying bodies. Planting a vineyard, it's all by design. And by virtue of the fact that you planted the vineyards within proximity of one another, too close to be called a vineyard, so it means that you never intended this to be in a formal and an official vineyard. However, when it comes to burying bodies, so death is the kind of thing which is unexpected. We didn't plan for this. And so right now, as a makeshift solution, what we're going to do is we're going to bury these bodies here, but only as a temporary makeshift solution. And what we're going to do is that at a later point in time, we're going to just simply dig them up and move them somewhere else. But that allows Rabbi Shimon, in the case of the crypt, in the case of the catacomb, to ignore some of the middle bodies because, again, we could speculate, we can guess that these bodies were not designed to be here on a permanent basis. Gemara says, the Rabbanan nami lo kasha, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, we could say something similar, which is, hachakim de minavel lo mikrei kever. Look, when it comes to burial, so again, with the understanding that death is unexpected, but still, there's the concept of nivel hames. We are treating the bodies with proper respect and dignity. And therefore, no one's going to bury there on a makeshift basis. We are therefore going to assume that the bodies were buried there by design. But by virtue of the fact that it's not configured in a burial site configuration, so now we'll just simply say that it's not a burial site, and therefore it's not kone makoma. But it was, in other words, there was no intent from the beginning to simply bury them here temporarily. The Gemara says, according to the Chachamim, we will not assume that. On the other hand, Hasam over there, in the case of Kalayim, Me'ema Amar Ha'minai Deshapir Shapir Delo Shapir Lahavil Tzivi. As far as planting your vines are concerned, look, you know, not everything that you plant is going to work out well. Some are going to work out, some are not going to work out. So in other words, I'm going to plant a whole lot, and with the intent of, I'm going to rip up whichever vines are not working out. I'll use it as, you know, as fuel for the fuel for my fire. But TV. But in other words, one can make the argument in the case of the vineyard that I didn't plant everything over there by design. I planted with the intent of ripping up the ones that are in the middle. So that explains why, according to the Chachamim, in the case of burial, I can't just simply ignore the bodies that are buried. But in the case of the vineyard, I can. Hadron Lachamocha Peros, that is the end of the sixth parak of Baba Basra. Yeah, stop here. Le'ilui Nishmas Ma'akabas Yochanan and Refuah Shlema. Le'ilui Nishmas Nachman Ben Shalom and Refuah Shlema for Amram Ben Simcha. Rabbi Chanan Yemenekash Amrath Yishbach Lezak Yisrael Ficha Chir Ben Tor Mitzvah Shinyam Anei Chafetz Masikol Yodot Rav Yadir.